Like Louis Armstrong, break the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Jez.
G'day, Solution. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Welcome back.
Good to be back, yeah.
It's been a while.
Been managed also, for a few weeks.
You have been managed for a few weeks. You're on notice, on thin ice. With us also is the Windsock 2000.
G'day.
How are you?
Good. Rebooted. I'm back online.
Yep,
been
great.
A while as well.
The enhancements went well?
Yeah, going pretty good. Yep.
Let's see if you can count to 10. And with us is Fiona.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I feel a bit better today.
Yeah, well, let's get straight to the game. And this is what I want to start with. Why are people losing their shit? Like, I know West Coast have a dozen premiership players, by the way. So it's not like they are the top-ups, the Essendon top-ups, or Port Adelaide's team from the weekend. They've got a dozen premiership players. My theory all along has been they've been tanking. They were deliberately tanking earlier in the year, and now they're sort of trying a little bit. Vindicated, by the way. It wasn't a great performance, and we're going to unpack it. And, you know, I'm disappointed with probably the effort running the other way and the chasing. But people, I've never seen such a negative reaction to a win before. Do people forget the top-up year? Do people forget 2013? Do people forget the years we were dire? Like, and I'm not saying we're not dire, but it was a win for fuck's sake. What have I missed here?
But not only have people forgotten those years, which were years and years ago, people have forgotten December, which was only 8 months ago, how they felt in December. Not even December, how they felt at the start of the year, predicting where we were going to finish.
When we missed out on Clarkson and thought it was the end of the world.
Exactly. So people, the shortest memories in history, Essendon supporters, and we should know better. Us of any supporters should know better than to overreact to something that's not quite as bad and that was always going to be a 2024-2025 project. Like, they've been up and about for more than half the year and the wheels are starting to fall off a bit. It's no great surprise, to be honest.
No. Windsock 2000, you were going to add?
Yeah. No, I think they've got a lot of quality players. They've got Oscar Allen, Tim Kelly, is that his name? The midfielder. They had McGovern back. They got a lot of, they got quality players in their side. And we didn't play that well. And we always, it's a standard thing across the last 10, 20 years of Essendon, is whenever we come up against a crap side, we play crap. That's just what we do. So I don't know why it's a surprise to anyone. The fact that we won is, if you're happy with wins at this time of the year, then you take it, right? I don't know what we want to do. I don't know if we want to win, if we want to lose. I'm so confused.
Well, I should add as an aside, it was very amusing because Fiona will know. I had a friend, shout out to Tracy, who's a West Coast supporter. And if you've ever seen somebody conflicted and didn't want to win but wanted to win, she was literally tortured, like, yes, we're winning, but no, what are we doing? But yes, we're winning. It was fucking hilarious, and we've all been there. I know the feeling between wanting to win or not. I don't personally, and Jez, I'll get your view, I do not think it matters whether we win or lose. We're not going to make finals. Like, if anyone thinks, and we'll get to there's some anti-Brad Scott sentiment out there. Do people honestly think Brad Scott's holding us back from a top four position or potential like flag run? Jez, can you bring some sanity to the argument?
I think the three of you are accepting mediocrity. look, we aren't out of the finals race. Let's be clear. That win means no, we're not. That win means we're still in the finals race.
Well, we're mathematically possible.
Yeah.
And the Winsock 2000 proves that maths don't work.
Yep.
So
put it this way, if we'd have lost the game, we were out of the finals race, I reckon, if for all intents and purposes. It was a horrible win, but I'll take the win. Yeah, I'll take the win. And there's been a lot. I mean, I only dip my toe into Twitter. I'm not elsewhere. And there's been a lot of knifing and anger and pointing fingers. And, yeah, there has certainly been quite a reaction to the win. But, we're not out of the race.
Yeah, just the anger at Brad Scott's presses. It's just like maybe I'm smoking pot. Like, I don't know what I'm smoking, but his press conferences make a shit ton of sense to me. And he's right. You couldn't have listened to his press conference and sensed that he wasn't peeved. He was pissed off. He was pissed off at the players' subconsciouses that, you know, you could tell that he was narked. He's not. Some people are saying he's complacent. Like, I can't.
But also, shouldn't we learn from his position and the club's position on, say, selections and late changes? They don't tell us what's going on. They don't tell us who's injured and the extent of the injuries. But they are very, very, which I have no problem with, they are very, very careful about not letting us in behind the curtain. And who knows what he's saying behind closed doors? Don't think that just what he's saying at the press conference is what he's saying to the players.
Well, the best part, and it actually gave me goosebumps when I listened to him say it. He said, what did he say? He said, oh, I'm actually glad that they got that lesson today, because if they think they can just walk up to a game and win, then they can't. And I just thought, bang, like that is as good as any spray, you know, to me. Like, he knows full well, and the players did. Like, you just have to hear Langford speak and Martin's reaction on the siren. Like, they know. But, again, it doesn't change the fact that they're a young, developing team, and Brad Scott was right. We were less experienced than West Coast because, as you say, they have premiership players in their team. So,
yeah.
And when he says a developing team, he doesn't mean that the players don't have a number of games under their belt. He means developing team under him. So essentially they're developing under him, to which they've had 6 months.
Yep. Agreed. So why was it so shit? Maybe Winsock 2000. So we did bag the points, but my initial observation was just we weren't chasing. That was one of my concerns. But am I oversimplifying?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think the kind of pressure, you know, whatever that is, you know, was that bad throughout the game. I didn't think that was particularly a problem. We were pretty bad by foot, I thought. I thought turnovers were a little bit up on usual. And in some bad positions, like turning it over, you know, at our half-back line and things like that. At our half-forward line, where you can rebound really easily. And then the other one was we missed three shots, like, within 15 metres of the goal.
Yeah.
Like, it was disgusting. Guelphy, Wright, and Phillips. Like, you can't miss shots like that. Like, they're fucking gold. And no one else in the competition missed three shots like that. Maybe Carlton earlier in the year. But
no, I'll give Phillips a pass only because his ball drop is about 4 metres from his hand to his foot. And, you know, even though we're under the roof, there can be a breeze. But
ironically, he's not actually the worst kick in goal. He's actually quite consistent throughout his... You know, his time with us. And yeah, the Guelphy one's just totally unacceptable. Right.
Yeah, I think he might come up in conversation for one of the awards.
You might do.
Jez, have you got any sort of insight into why we only won by a point?
I wasn't at the game, so I was only watching it on TV. And all I noticed was how sort of dodgy we were in our ball movement. So we would bring the ball forward, and it was constantly, we were constantly kicking to kind of huge groups of players, and there didn't seem to be kind of space. There was that period in the second quarter where we were lowering the eyes and people were running into space, and it all worked well. But other than that, it was kind of stodgy. And then the ball would get turned over and come back the other way, and the Eagles just seemed to have oodles and oodles of space and runners running into space. And it just seemed so stark. There was something, I don't know what it was, but on the TV, it was just quite stark that they had space and we just didn't.
We're just not great in transition. Like it seems like it takes us a long time to get into attack mode. And likewise, when we inevitably we turn it over, we take too long to get into defense mode in the middle of the ground. And we're lucky that our back six is holding us together. You know, they're saving us a lot.
Oh, look, yeah, I agree. I mean, BCT was amazing. So speaking of players, Winsock 2000, you're going to do the awards. So give us some nominations for the herd.
Herd first. I thought the captain played well, racked it up again. I think to get around 30-odd and was one of our better users, as he usually is. Langford, obviously, kicked the 4 goals in a quarter and one at the end to actually win us the game. It's pretty impressive. And one that actually hasn't come up, I don't think, for this particular award previously, that I thought had his best game for the club, was Hind.
Yeah, he was everywhere. He was absolutely everywhere.
And actually using it pretty well, I thought. Like I was kind of in shock. Lowering the eyes, hitting targets. Yeah, not doing Hind-like things.
The Benny Hill music phase just seems a long time ago.
What would have been the soundtrack to his performance this week?
It was still frantic, but it was a bit more precise. What song fits that mold?
I don't know. But I almost would be. Anyway, we'll get to the Hennem in a second. But the guy who wears number one, I want to play the Benny Hill music for occasionally, but
we'll get to the Henneman.
We'll get to the Henneman. We will. I want to ask you a question, Fiona. So Kelly, I thought, had a very good first half. I thought he drifted a bit afterwards, but online, if you were following Twitter, you'd say that he was having a mare.
Yeah. And
granted, I wasn't necessarily concentrating on what his opponent was doing. But how do we judge Kelly's game? Try and see it through, you know, not Kelly-coloured glasses.
Look, fair to say that there was some muting and unfollowing going on from my behalf. So if you bagged Kelly in the last 24 hours, you probably don't give a shit, but you're probably muted. He was fantastic in the first half. And I guess the criticism is that he's keeping Martin from that wing spot. Now, in the second half, they moved him back and they put Cox on the wing in his spot. And so they still kept Martin forward. I just think he went at 93% efficiency for the whole game, 93%. So whether or not you see that as being as impactful or putting ball into the forward line like a winger would, well, you're basing that on one half of football, firstly. And secondly, he was doing a lot of the other stuff good. And he was on our side of the wing, wasn't he, Solution? So he was on our side of the wing where our seats were. And so we watched him very, very closely. And you made the comment that it's like having another good midfielder, because he was doing all that. He was shepherding. He was putting on little blocks for Merritt. He was doing all that stuff that maybe he's not quite as creative. In fact, he's not as creative and precise as Martin is. So he's not putting those precise balls into the forward line, no problem. But he's still doing a fuck ton good of other stuff.
He's also a tank, and tanks aren't necessarily subtle, but he's a big body.
Yeah, and he's also running to the other end of the ground on the opposite end of the opposite wing just to make space and to make it give a potential target for a handball or a kick and never getting used, but doing it again and again. So I just have no time for people who are going to criticise him without actually looking into it, because it's an easy pick.
Well, Jez, have you got some players you want to shout out?
I just want to say something about Kelly. I don't think he was as good as Fiona thought he was, but gee, I thought he was good early. And I think the criticism of him has just been way, way out of proportion.
Can we stop on that? A lot of the criticism has been, why is Scott playing him on the wing?
Well, that's what I want to talk about.
Sorry, you get.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. I grew up in an era where Essendon's coach would shift the magnets and try players in different positions. Seeing this coach move Kelly up to the wing, and there were other moves as well, whether it's Cox back or whatever.
I wrote a song about it, mate. The coach moves.
Oh, and
yeah,
I loved
you
it.
Did.
And
yeah.
I embrace it. And I just think it's so short sighted and small minded to say. Yeah. Oh, Kelly's on the wing. He's not a winger. He's not as good as our other wingmen. Just let him play there and embrace the fact that the coach has the balls to make these moves. I actually thought he was really good, and I was really surprised to see him up that far up the ground. And I thought he was great in the first half, and he went way out in the second half, but I thought he was great in the first half.
But it gives true to what I said on Fiona's forecast, in that this feels like Brad Scott is tinkering with things, 100%. Putting players in positions, and then he's going to put all of the scenarios on the board table at the end of the season and say, that worked, that didn't, that worked. Like, so they've played Caldwell in less taggy type roles post the middle of the season. I reckon that's a bit of an experiment too. Do you know what I mean? So I just think Jez is 100% right. Like, it's such a, we should be looking at this with absolute glory and raising him up, making a statue of Brad Scott already, because he's trying things.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite say a statue, but what I will say is...
Well, maybe I'll just make a little miniature statue out of fondant and just keep him here.
Absolutely. I've got a really simple solution to people out there is, you know, if you want your Essendon Prozac or whatever your equanimity pill of choice is, think of the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks as part of next year's preseason.
Yeah.
All Brad Scott is doing is trying to work out, and he's told you in his press conferences, he's been explicit and clear. I am not going to compromise the future for today. I am working to a long-term plan, and that should be music to everybody's ears. Because who else is sick of yo-yo into eighth, losing the final by 10 goals, and then dropping back to 13th, and then back up to eighth and down to 13th? He's trying to break that cycle. He's trying to create a sustainable period of success, and To your point, Jez, part of it is I think he'll make moves to change a game for the moment, but he's also trying to find out what players can do.
There's a lot of, you know, in the off-season, there's going to be a lot of conversations and decisions made on the list and how we're going to play next year. And you need some data points, you need some evidence in order to make the best decisions, right? And I think what he's doing with Kelly at the moment is allowing them to work out what they want to do with Cox. Right? That's at the end of the day, if Cox isn't playing, then Kelly's going to be sitting in the back line like he's done for the first half of the year. So, yeah,
good point.
I don't mind
it. Good point. Good point.
Anyone else, Jez, you want to shout?
Two more. I know you've mentioned BZT, but specifically in the herd conversation, I thought he was great all day. And the other one, can I just say, I thought the umpires gave us a kiss on the proverbial. The free kicks were 22-12 in our favour, and I know the umpiring generally wasn't that great. But gee, I think we got the better of a bad day.
I tell you why. It's just Dean Margett's reparations. We deserve a decade.
That's
a decade of that differential. And then we might be parity. We might be parity.
Another player that I was thinking that should probably be shouted out is Archie Perkins. I thought he played well.
I think he had one of his best in a long time, to be honest. And you know what I think? I think he's just so creative up forward. There's a temptation there to play him more up forward and maybe give Sardis a bit more of a midfield run. Because he's so creative. Him and Langford work really well together. And they've had the whole year together as well. Peter Wright's come into the mix, but Archie and Langers have had the whole year. So I just start to see a bit of chemistry between them. They look like they know what each other's going to do.
We will talk about the debutante too. So any other nominations for anyone, or are we good? Wintock, 2000, what do you got? Who wins?
I think being a bit selfish, and he's one of my favourite players, and he's in the mix, so he's going to get it, is Langford. If you win us the game with the last kick, and you've kicked a bag of five, I think you're well deserving.
I just to my argument, and he'd be my number two or number three, but I just think he's not getting that ball unless Hines putting it in there and getting it in there like he did. I think he actually kicked two of them to Langford. Beautiful. He's actually a very underrated kick into the forward 50. He was leading. He was in his good year. He was like number one in the competition for inside 50 kicks. He's very, very good. And I thought yesterday he did absolutely everything right. Solution said we need to drug test him because it looked like a different player. It was the funniest call ever. He was uncharacteristically clean, precise. Mm-hmm. He looked like a player playing for his spot in the team, and none of the other players came up to his level. Maybe Langford, but obviously he was in the forward line. Hine did it all around the ground. He was impressive, and I feel like he deserves the plaudits. It's just a little podcast that only two people listen to, but I feel he's got to have been close. Winsock 2000.
No, he was. Well, I think he was.
Maybe he can get some Brownlow votes. I might make up for it, but he's not getting anywhere near the herd.
I love it. Well done, Winsock 2000. Oh.
And Fiona, those two listens are just me. I listen to it twice every week.
Yep. Well, we know the correspondent doesn't listen, the cunt. But anyway, shout out, correspondent. No doubt you're at a pub right now. The Henneman. This should be interesting.
Yeah. We already kind of mentioned one of them. Ralphie, I don't know, I think he was great. Small forwards has been such a challenge for us, haven't they? Like, it's been a relatively dirty year, although Menzies was pretty good. I'll give him that. He played quite well. And he's having a good little stretch.
He is. I think you're letting Guelphy off the hook to put him in amongst small forwards and almost blaming the position for why he's not there. He's been dire, man. He's been dire.
He's really off, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the first guy on the horse float when it pulls up at... pulls up at the training ground at the end of the year. Seriously,
it's crazy how quickly things can change. Last year he was one of the best players all year for us, and this year he's just been very average.
And maybe he's not fully fit. I don't know.
Who knows? But I'll throw him in there. Who else? I was frustrated with McGrath. He gets the ball. He's starting to accumulate it really well, and sometimes maybe he accumulates it in negative positions and puts us under a bit of pressure. But his disposal and running himself into trouble and other players into trouble is really starting to annoy me, and I don't know how we get the most out of him, because there's definitely something there.
He loves the corner. Yeah. He loves a cul-de-sac, that's for sure. Loves to run into one of those.
He's just panicking in the entire time is what it looks like.
Yeah, my theory at the start of the year was opposition teams almost like let him get the ball. They're happy for him to get the ball. And I still question whether it's happening.
That's a disaster. If that's truly what's happening, that is disaster. That's a disaster when opposition are having that in their head. But what happened to McGrath that absolutely like dominated Charlie Cameron and did an amazing job on him?
Maybe he
That's
should.
That's a genuine just... question. That wasn't rhetorical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone,
no, 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 no.
Tell me what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's the answer to unlock his best is kind of just forget that he was number one and try and get the absolute most out of what he's good at. And maybe it is, you know, shadowing.
Just locked
down. Yeah, shadowing the opposition and anything offensively provides us is a bonus.
And
he's athletic. He's one of the most athletic players in the comp. Yeah,
good tackler, good closing speed, really good one-on-one.
Just no composure.
He was doing stuff Hind used to do. It's,
like run, and then turnover. Like he was doing a Hind. He did it with every disposal yesterday.
So I said it should have been the Benny Hill music. He's now taken over that soundtrack. From Hind.
Yeah. I think, like, you know, taggers are pretty topical in the last 2 weeks, thanks to one player in particular that plays for another side. Maybe that's his role in something like that. Tagger.
From the back line?
Well, could be midfield. Just follow somewhere around the ground, just be a pest. Maybe he could do that kind of role. I don't know. I don't know what to do with him.
And it's really worrying. Frustrating. It's worrying that, you know, a number of years into his career now, he's still questioning what his best position is. But anyway, sorry, mate, keep going.
We can't fix it. Essendon cannot fix the disposal of players, like we've proven that time and time again in our high draft selections.
Oh, yes, we can. How long's Heppel been playing? This year, he's improved. This year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, better late than never, I guess.
He's like the Renaissance man.
Job was the other one. But, I don't really have too many others. You know, for the Henneman coming off the top of my head, maybe someone can kind of help me out.
Come on, Jez.
I thought on telly, I thought Lav didn't have a great game. I don't know what he was like at the ground, but... he looked banged up and tired and slightly disinterested and he didn't pay enough respect, I don't think, to his opponent. I didn't think he had a great game, but I think there's daylight between him and a Guelphy.
Mm.
No, Levert's been... He's looked kind of banged up for a while.
If only we had a tall, solid defender in the twos who we could bring in to give him a week off and manage him.
Yeah.
Looking at your boy solution.
Baldwin, man, I don't know what he's done. I do not know what he's done.
Well, I watched the VFL. I watched about two-thirds of the VFL. He was stellar. He was great. And good on him because he's been overlooked so many times and he's still playing, you know, like his career depends on it every week and he was great. And I should say also in the twos, it was great to see Setters out there, and he played well. If he pulls up out of that game without any issue, I reckon they walk him straight in because he looked good.
I'd be happy for that.
Yeah. Big in.
Any other Henneman nominations, Fiona? You got anyone?
Guelphy, daylight, a bit more daylight. And then maybe a little bit more daylight, if possible, a little bit more daylight. And then maybe, Laverty and, that's about all I've got. Yep. I mean, you can have a really, really, really bad game. And then you get an easy you take a mark, or he got a free kick, was it, whatever it was, in a very easy spot at a very crucial time of the game. You kick that and you're automatically, okay, you've had a bad day, but you've kicked an important goal for the team.
Yeah.
Could not even fucking do that.
Yeah, it's a fair point. He had 7 disposals. Played most of the game, didn't he?
That's 6 more than I thought he had.
It's only the ruckman of the starters that came close to that. Yeah, he wasn't great.
Yeah. Well, I think that's that's him. Matthew Guelphy. You're the Hanneman this way.
Sorry, Guelph. You know, Prince of Perth walks away with a trophy at least in his last year. That's a bit cruel.
I think he's contracted.
Is he?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Is he?
Oh. Isn't he Jez?
Oh, I don't know. Huh. No, let's throw him in as a steak knives for a big Harley Reid.
Harley Reid.
Reid, yeah.
Yeah, we'll give you.
I said that to a solution. I said we'll give it our pick plus our pick, whatever we get, 6 or 7 or 8 plus Prince of Perth.
I should do Prince of Perth.
Yeah, and I said, and you said the Prince of Perth. I said, yeah, that should do it.
I'd happily throw in Nick Martin. As great as he's been. No? Anyone?
Crickets. You need, so can you please put in the cricket sound effect there?
You've got to be ruthless. You got to be ruthless.
But are you saying so?
He's saying Nick our pick and Nick Martin.
And pick, say, if we get pick 6.
Pick 6, yeah. For Harley Reid.
You saw him. Did you see him at the VFL?
He was insanely good.
Oh, he was nuts. He was nuts. And the thing about him is that he's, it's hard to, if you haven't seen him play, it's hard to explain, but he I actually think he loves the contest and the physical work more than he loves actually getting a possession. He absolutely just chucks himself in. And just absolutely loves the contest. It's fantastic. It's great to watch. He took Mark of the Year, you know, just lazy Mark of the Year as well. It's fantastic.
I'd give the farm away to try and get him. But anyway,
I think we have more problems than one player can solve.
True.
That's one of my issues with it. Like, yeah.
But can I talk about our top pick from last year?
Hmm.
Elijah.
No one told me. I didn't know he was such a good mark.
I know. Really
no one
good.
Told me that. What could he end up being? Is he going to be kind of a bigger body midfielder? Could he play forward? I was very impressed with just forget even getting the ball, just the way he moves and the way he's clearly. He's a smart player, but his marking is what really blew me away.
Yeah, one-on-one, he was super impressive. And his kicking was good in the game as well. I know that's one of his, one of the things that people have been a bit negative on is his field kicking, but he didn't show any signs of that. It would have been nice if he kicked the goal in the fourth.
Yeah. Might have gone up cheering like it was, she won was the up. Grand final. Yeah, she was up.
Yeah, I was.
Thanks,
I was,
Solution. Thanks for.
You weren't Robinson Crusoe, to be fair.
Thanks for just, putting that out there for me, for everyone.
Hey, what?
Get that visual.
Sitting at home on the couch, the crowd went nuts in that little split second.
It was, they were willing it to go through. Yeah, like, it just would have been such a good moment for the team as well.
And you see, I was actually, went for a bit of a wander, so I was considering just leaving.
Oh, no.
And I was just standing behind the cheer squad in which for a bit of culture, you just see what's going on down there with the faithful. And he was running in and it was, there was no one around him and it really just, the sea parted. Like it was quite biblical. Yeah. And then he kicked the ball, and I thought it. I actually thought it was coming, like it was coming directly. I was right behind the goal. And yeah, just faded off to the side. It was sad, really.
He kicked it into the Red Sea instead of through the middle.
Solution: how does a computer go for a wander? Is it sort of like an R2-D2 type arrangement?
Mate, this 2023 AI. It's
like a hologram or something.
Hologram. It's projected. It's what was that Tom Cruise science fiction movie called again? What was it called? Minority Report.
Yeah.
I think Minority Report meets some kind of Ridley Scott science fiction thing.
I've got access to all of the cell phones, so if someone's carrying a cell phone camera, then I can see it.
Yeah. Correct. Can't add up, but he can do all that shit. All right. Well, any other comments on the game at all? Jez has one finger up.
One. My highlight from the entire game, early in the third quarter, Tim Kelly dropped a knee on Hobbs, and within a millisecond, Darcy Parrish flew the flag, and two milliseconds later, Zach Merritt flew the flag.
Yes.
And it was like old days. It was instant. It was like it was instinctive. They went in to protect their guy. And they didn't give a shit that the umpire was there. They didn't give a shit the umpire was telling them to move away. They had a point they wanted to make, and they made it. And I haven't seen that for a long time in the red and black, and I loved it. So great work by those two leaders.
Also, just to add to that, when McGrath was dumped after the footy and we got a down-the-field free kick, Laverty went straight up to, I don't know, whichever West Coast player did it, and got in his face. And the push was, it was a little late, but it wasn't high. And I just thought, good on you, Laverty. I clapped for him. I said, that's exactly what. Like, he wouldn't have even seen it. He just saw it was a bit late. But I thought that was great. So well done, Lav, for that.
Good points. Nothing else? All right. We're going to go to the douche and deity of the week. Who has a douche nomination? None? I got one.
There you go.
Fiona, you got one?
No.
All right. I'm going to douche Ian from Don the Stat. You are nominated as a douche. Now I'll explain why. So there's a number of podcasts in Essendon podcasts now in the Essendon podcast landscape, as we all know, and we love them all. I enjoyed Don the Stat. Love the Lunchtime Catch Up. There's some others I listen to. We're obviously the OGs. We've been here the longest. But anyway. I think part of the reason we can sort of peacefully coexist is because we each understand our lanes. Don the Stat's lane is definitely good analysis. I listen to those guys. You learn something about the game. They're great. The Lunchtime Catch-Up, very Essendon focused. They've had some great interviews. Some of the stuff around reunions and that sort of stuff, I still go back and listen to those older podcasts. Fantastic. We've got our lane. Our lane is shitty quality, scant analysis, and songs. We do the songs. In fact, I do the songs. And, you know, I don't want to have to point to my discography, but it's pretty deep. I've won a number of Grammys. I can talk about some of the songs. Like,
that's a solid body of work.
It's body of work, it is. Dare I say, my probably greatest hit was Get Fucked Asada, one of the classics. Overrated Blues, our Matthew Lloyd song, I Cave Brad Sewell's Face In, one of my favourites. there's a whole range of them.
That's going very far back.
It is going far back. But that's the point. That's the point. This is my lane. My lane is songs. Now, we put out a couple of weeks ago, I said, look, give me your song suggestions and I'll do them for you. And the song of the week this week is from a fan, Joe, who we'll be talking about a little bit later. And there was this thread of songs that, like, suggestions. And I've got this pipeline of work I'm working to. But then suddenly Ian tags Herbitron and says, can you do this song? And it was a song on Stardust. Rick Edwards had the best one of the lot, actually. It was Satisfaction.
Satisfaction? Yeah.
Yeah. Very brilliant. Good.
It's in that thread, and that's coming, Rick, so trust me. But Ian's got – now, I love Herbitron. You actually introduced me to him, Winsock 2000, last year.
Yeah, yeah. One of my faves.
Love his work. His work on It's Only Just Begun, his Carlton video. I was howling laughing. It was so funny.
The bobblehead.
Yeah, that's right, the bobblehead classic. So go check it out. But anyway, Ian suggested he gets involved. Now, Herbitron, this is just a mild warning to you, because you're an innocent party in this. Just be aware you also need to stay in your lane. Just make great video content. But when it comes to songs, fuck this, how long have I been going on for? Ian, this is your first and final. You don't want that smoke, my friend. You do not want that smoke. I won't give you another warning, because I move in silence after this. One day, Jono will log on and there'll be no Ian. Ian will be gone. And it'll just be Jono. It'll have to work out, what do I do? Do I trade in for the Winsock 2000? And then maybe Don the Stat will become Don.
There'll be no suspects. There'll be no evidence.
No, because exactly right. So, Ian, you're on notice. This is, you consider your douche to just be your warning. And when it comes to songs, they stay with me, okay? Of course, I'm joking. But anyway, that's my douche.
He is, but he isn't. If you could see him, if you could see the evil look on his face, he's very not joking. He just said he's joking.
I tell you what, I was thinking about it, because before this podcast, I thought I'll give him a douche. It would be fun to have a bit of real podcast smoke and podcast beef, but they're all too good, nice guys. That's the problem. Anyway.
And we all just coexist so well. Like, it hasn't been designed that way, that we're all very, very different. It's just organically happened. So there's no beef to be had.
No. But maybe we need
I think you solution called a fellow podcaster a cunt earlier in this episode. But apart from that.
Yes. Good point.
Apart from it's all pretty friendly.
Yeah. I mean, the only other minor podcast douche I've ever thought of giving was when Fiona went on to the lunchtime catch-up and didn't mention the Winsock, just went on there, was a guest, and there was no, like, shout-out to...
Giving your own brand.
It was no cross-promotions.
It was a bit like Sylvia Fischini, wasn't it, who went across with it without a clearance? Where did he go from St Kilda to Sydney, Jez, or was it the other way around?
It was like he was at training at one club, like on a Wednesday, and then popped up at the other club on the Saturday. Yeah.
Him and Paul Norwood, maybe.
Good memory.
There you go. But apart from that, there's been no smoke. Mildly disappointing, really. Any other douches?
Come on, someone needs to come. The time is up. Is the allocated douche segment?
We got enough time. Anything else?
We got nothing.
No.
Maybe the Twitterati or Xerati folks that are out there that whatever have a vindictive kind of opinion towards Darcy Parrish.
Yes.
He basically won a state. He, no matter how you look at it, he got the clearance and won us the game.
He absolutely won us the game without any shadow of a doubt.
Without him, you don't win the game. And yes, I may have thrown some expletives his way during the game.
We all have.
In some of his turnovers, which, he does tend to do. But he does a lot right, and he's a you know, he's a top midfielder in the competition. And I think we'd be a worse team without him, that's for sure.
Well said, mate. Well said.
We wouldn't be having this conversation if he'd signed up. And the fact that he hasn't signed up, I think, means people are kind of inventing debates to be had about him.
Do you think?
It's a bit of self-preservation. Like, oh, see, it would be fine if he went because he's no good. Yeah. It's a bit of that.
But he's clearly our number one contested coalface player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any difficulty in having a debate about whether he's a good kick, because I think he's a shit kick. But yeah. There's no nuance in it. It's like Parrish is a great player and he wins us games and everyone can fuck off. But on the other side, it's Parrish butchers the ball and he can fuck off. But, you know, whatever. If he signs and he's with us, great. I'll be super happy. If he goes, that'll be really disappointing. But you know, we'll live without him. There's no one's indispensable. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with there being a debate about it. But yeah, the completely kind of blinkers on one. You know, he's either Jesus or he's fucking Judas. I think just stupid.
Yeah,
there's only one Judas. He plays for Brisbane. Sorry, Wingsock 2000.
I don't think he doesn't out and out lose us games like people are insinuating. That's just not the case.
I felt Andy McGrath butchered it way more than the thing with Parrish is that he does those 2, 3, 4 bad things, but he also does 11 very, yes, very good things, whereas Andy McGrath just butchered it time and time again. It just negated any of his spunk around the ball. Mm. That's all.
And also, in the heat of the battle, of the clearance battle, when you sort of just, you've got, you know, 0.3 of a second to sort of direct your kick. If we had a functioning forward line that you could kick to, that might actually help as well. So I think a lot of the times he looks up and there's just like a wall of opponents.
But I also think the argument, so a lot of I think the forwards and the mids didn't work hard enough to kick the ball in yesterday. Mm. But it automatically goes to, oh, Darcy Parrish doesn't two-way run. But what about the other mids? Why isn't some of that heat going on your Merritt, Caldwell, Durham? Why isn't the two-way running argument not going on their shoulders anyway? Why does it automatically go to Parrish's inability to two-way run?
Yep. 100%. No, good shout. Wintock 2000. Oh, if you're happy with that, we'll give them the douche of the week.
Oh, he's backpedaling. He's backpedaling. Hubie, you better. You're fine, mate. You can just.
I didn't want to. I didn't want to actually have to give Hubie the douche. That would be unfair. Just songs are with me, mate. That's all I'm saying. Just don't involve other, particularly when they're really good, like Herbertron, and make my shitty songs look really bad. Don't do it.
Mate, we got that point the first 6 times you mentioned it.
All right, smart ass. Jez, have you got a deity?
I do. Keeping with kind of the douche and deity not being football related, being slightly broader focus, Women's World Cup soccer is on at the moment.
Right. I can't wait
World
for tomorrow
Cup.
Night.
Yep.
Now, it'll be great to see the Matildas tomorrow night. I wish them all the best. But can I just say, there's a player Lauren James, player playing for England. Check her out, peoples. She is special. She is amazing. She got a couple of goals the other night and set up a few. Sam Kerr is awesome. Sam Kerr is awesome. This woman is next level. So Lauren James, for me, is the deity. She's lit this World Cup up, and there's more to come.
Yeah, she used to, up until relatively late, she was training with the men in her club. I think she might have started in the youth team at Manchester United or whatever. But yeah, she's a superstar. Can I just bin myself, douche myself? I actually realised I started singing that World Cup song by that dickhead influencer Speed. Do you know anyone know who Speed is? World Cup. Anyway, I'll just douche myself. I'll let myself out. Very good deity. Very good deity. Anybody else got a deity? Can I give a deity? Does anybody here on this podcast know who Nate Diaz is?
No.
Yes. MMA.
Yeah. Fire. So he fought that bullshit boxing. He like influencer boxing. He fought that one of the Paul brothers today. But I just want to shout him out because as a skinny fat man myself, he is... He is the skinny, fat man's spirit animal. He's got a body. He looks like one of these Cambodian pythons that swallows a goat. Like he's really, really
no thin. Definition.
He's really, really thin, and then he's got the round bit in his tummy, and then he's thin again. But he's a skinny guy who can fight. And when I first saw him in MMA about 10 years ago, I loved him. And he's a bit of a different cat, but. I just want to give him a day for retiring from MMA and basically taking – he made about $15, $20 million for just a bit of exhibition boxing. But anyway, he's a deity.
Made it 10 rounds as well with someone with far greater kind of boxing anatomy than him.
Someone much bigger and on steroids. So he did really well.
Absolutely. Yeah. We drew stuff.
Any others? No? All right. Next week.
I'll give one, but it's a personal one. Is that allowed?
Of course.
It's not a universal one. It's only relevant for me.
I'll let it out if it's shit.
Oh, okay. I want to, because they've probably been deserving on the back of about 400 million douches in the past, but I just want to deity the airline Jetstar. Because
oh wow, what?
Yeah, I know. I know. Hold on to your hat and glasses. Because as I recently went to Bali and back, obviously, and I tell you what, not only were both flights with Jetstar, but on time. One of them was earlier. We arrived earlier than the actual. Time that it said that we were gonna, but I was also upgraded to business class on the way there. Complimentary.
Oh, so, no wonder you're dating. Giving them
no,
dating.
But it wasn't even that. I wasn't like the fact I went to the business class lounge expecting that I was just going to be allowed to go in there because they had upgraded me to business class. Apparently, no, you're not just automatically allowed to go in there. But the lady at the desk said, "No worries, you can be my guest for the day and let me in." So it was the staff were fantastic. The bags were on time. It was seamless from pillar to post. And I have flown Jetstar probably about, I'd say, anywhere from 20 to 30 times in my life. Not once has the flight ever been on time. I mean ever, like even when it's 20 minutes late, it's always late. So the fact that both in Bali and in Melbourne, they were on time, luggage was perfect, everything was perfect. They deserve a deity, and may it continue.
So, yeah, you're giving them a deity for doing their job.
Actually, yeah, would you believe, yeah, that this is how far we've fallen, is that just doing their job is worthy of the award.
So listen, we were this far away from having Jetstar for our podcast end of season trip until your comment just then.
Yeah. Well, obviously the entire Windsock frequent flyers were used up on Fiona's upgrade. So
was that a little parting gift to me?
No,
you shouldn't have.
That's all right. Back to the Greyhound to Ballarat we go. very, very good. All right, next week. Now, dare I say, it might not be as easy a win as we thought maybe a few weeks ago. Kangaroos have hit a little vein of relatively okay performances. Relatively.
Without winning.
Yeah, true. What do we think? Is it going to be another nail biter? Are we going to make it hard, or are we going to actually, for once, give ourselves like a nervous system break and actually win comfortably? Who wants to go?
I have a bad feeling.
I got a feeling.
Kimmy, don't steal that little grab.
What do you reckon, mate? What's the basis of this feeling you have?
I've just got visions of those feral North fans just getting, yes, just salivating and getting really excited and getting angry and like just being annoying and yeah, I've got a bad feeling. I've got a sort of Port game last year feeling solution.
Yeah.
That bad. Just reliving that moment, it was halfway. Was it second quarter? You're at the pub or?
No, we're at the pub till half time, and we saw 8 minutes of the third quarter, and then we went back to the pub.
Right. Okay. So you reckon it's going to be that bad?
Yeah, I'm usually confident and positive. This week, I just got a bad feeling in my soul.
It is unlike you.
It is unlike you. Yeah.
You're predicting we're going to be on the beers. So every cloud. Winstock 2000. What did you think?
No, I don't think we're going to lose, but I don't think we're going to do anything convincing. I think we're still going to go in and try some things and mix it up, but I think it'll be close.
There needs to be some changes, I wouldn't mind.
Who do you want?
In the small forward department. I don't care if it's Waller or Tex, but one of them's got to come in for Guelph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How about Alwyn? Is he going around again?
Yeah, I think they should start him and play him.
Just play him.
Is there a world in which this is a sad, tough conversation to have? I want to start with you, Fiona.
Mm.
Is this Waller's last year? And if it is, do we give him a game or two? Or do we give him a game or two to see whether it is his last year?
How old is he? Is he over 32?
Let me ask Google.
I think he's 29.
He's not 30 yet. Oh, well, then I'd be saying go around again, definitely. I'd be giving him another year.
So,
but I'd still probably bring him in for the last three games. I don't think he literally cannot get much worse than Guelphy.
He's 30, by the way.
I'd give him another go next year. But I definitely, I'd bring him in for the last three games or make him sub. He's a great sub. Davey starts and make him sub. Perfect.
Everyone concur that he gets another year next year?
If he wants it, he might have proved to himself what he needed to prove already. I don't think we would be throwing small forwards out.
We seem to be happy to throw them out of the team.
To the point where there's none left.
That's right. That's my point.
I can't understand the what's behind the thinking of just purposely leaving Wright there to have three opponents. I know that allows Langford to get a lot of the ball, but I just don't see, the point in just leaving Wright there by being the only tall. He's the only tall forward down there.
Well, the only way we would turn this season into kind of a finals run and maybe beat, like, Collingwood. Is Collingwood going to be up and about in the last round? You never know.
The way they're going, they might need to win.
That's true.
Oh, see, I'm thinking they might want to rest some players.
Well, that's also a possibility.
I was hoping that.
Because they're a bit wounded at the minute. Apparently, did I read somewhere that someone else is sore or playing sore? Anyway, yeah.
Well, Dacos is out for 6 weeks. Nick?
Yeah.
So is Murphy.
Yeah. Murphy too, yeah.
Murphy's out for 6 weeks as well.
Syndesmosis for him, yeah.
Mm. So do we bring Wiedemann back in and just get one more roll at the dice?
Absolutely. But you weren't asking me, were you? Because, you know, my answer was that.
Well, I was asking you and the other panellists.
So you pay three talls, and what do? You drop a rock?
Yes. Oh, yeah, fuck, I don't know. You either drop a midfielder. or a ruck.
Well, the rucks are a non-event to the forward line.
Sure are.
So, like, what are we losing, really? Like, Brian showed me enough last week to think, you know, he's worth keeping on the list. But
didn't you say to me in the second quarter he was blowing? Remember you said
that? Yeah, that's right. Mm. You could tell he was visibly tired 10 minutes into the second quarter. Not a good sign.
I was surprised they didn't sub him.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what happened with Caldwell.
Can I just go round back to the small forwards for a second? That last goal we kicked, everyone's lauding Parrish for the clearance, and fair enough too.
Mm.
We don't get the goal if he doesn't get the clearance. But if you watch it, you get Menzie working so hard to be in the right place to get the crumb, and he got the crumb. And he picked it up.
Incredible crumb.
It was a perfect crumb. And he picked
Somebody
it up.
Somebody said it was luck. Sorry, Jez, to interrupt you. Somebody said it was good luck. I reckon that was skill.
He worked hard to get to the right spot. Mm. And when his chance came, he was clean. And he did it. He didn't get heaps of the ball on the weekend. But those who feel like watching the replay again, you watch how hard Menzie worked regularly to get to the right place to be a crummer. And that's the sort of nous that a Guelphy doesn't have. I'm sorry, you know. Yep. And it's not just Guelphy, it's Snelling. It's those guys who are small, but they're not small forwards. They're not natural nous, you know, street cunning small forwards. So good on him. They're important, very important role.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right, well, let's just say the score and then we'll fuck off. Fiona?
I think we'll win. Oh, I say that, but I think it'll be another close one, 4 points. Oh.
Jez, does your bad feeling extend to a loss?
Essendon by 1 point.
Oh, fuck off!
Imagine how much shit the negative Nellies will be losing.
Oh, there'll be microwaving happening.
Yep.
No,
yeah, convenient to do that, by the way, when there's only like one game to go or whatever. But anyway,
yeah.
Sorry, Winsock 2000.
I think we'll win by a couple goals, 2 goals.
Yes.
It's yeah.
I think we'll win by 30. So I think that they'll get a little bit of a rocket. I think they'll kick straighter. Be a little bit more coherent. Maybe play a little bit better. But the Kangaroos have been relatively competitive and there's guys, you know, this time of the year, guys playing for their careers and all that sort of stuff.
It's true.
So you need to respect the opponent.
We have a couple in that basket as well.
We do. We will need to do a list review before the end of the year, by the way.
I'm a bit worried about a key forward who's might not be getting... Anyway, you can do that in the list review one, but... There's a key forward in the VFL who just is not getting any love from old Brad Scott.
Voss. Well, Voss is a project player, but you'd almost think he's a Victorian state government infrastructure project because he's over time and over budget.
Do you keep investing or what?
That's it. Good money after bad. Well, as the Premier said, you know, things cost what they cost, I think was his comment. All right. Any other comments before we go? No? So, song of the week.
I hope people show up on the weekend. shit crowd.
Well, we can't 30,000. Yeah, we can't have the North Melbourne supporters, as Jez said, getting up and about.
And it's their home game, so it's not.
What, all seven of them?
It's not ideal, but
No, they come out of the woodworks for this game.
They do.
Yeah. I love it.
This is their big rivalry.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. This is their grand final, basically.
They got two of them this year.
All right. Well, to the song of the week. Now, this was contributed by Joe. I said to the listeners, if you send me a song, I'll try and do it. I did record two songs. So Joe gave me the lyrics. This is to Guy Sebastian's, what's the song called? I can't even remember.
You wrote it. Jesus.
No, it's Buddy, like the parody's Buddy Scars, and it's about Buddy Franklin. But
Battle Scars.
Battle Scars, that's right. The original Battle Scars. So well done to Joe, and I hope I've done your lyrics justice and your suggestion justice. I also recorded Brian, I'm a Believer, which was Jono from the aforementioned Donna Stats suggestion. But then I did have a reference to Brian's number being number 38, which I thought it was, and it's not. So, but it kind of fits the lyrics. So I might put that on the end anyway. But it's to the listeners out there, suggest the songs. I will try and record them. So,
but not Hume. You've blackballed him.
We didn't request that. He requested Herbertron to do it.
He sent his request elsewhere.
Yeah, that's right. So he kind of broke the code.
That really burnt you, didn't it? That really sizzled. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is all I got here. It's the only thing separating us. No, it's also the shitness. But anyway, so they're the songs of the week. So have a listen. What did you guys think of Buddy Scars? Do you feel the pain? That's what I felt in those lyrics.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He always fucking played well against us.
But, yeah,
every
it was
time.
A pleasure to watch and a pain at the very, very same time.
Very, very good point. All right. Well, check out our sponsor, Something About Cake. Thanks to everyone that listened. Fiona's Forecast, check that out. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Go Bombers.
Go Bombers.
Memory fades, but he never does. That's because he just never was under threat from us. These Buddy Scars, they look like they're fading. They look like they're slowly going away. 'Cause Franklin no longer plays the Bombers. I wish you weren't the best that Sydney ever had. I wish when you played that you were bad. 'Cause you played the best when you faced the Bombers. You were on fire when you played the Bombers. I wish you hadn't kicked 79 goals in the red and white and the brown and gold against the Bombers. You kicked the most with the Bombers. These Buddy Scars, they look like they're fading. They look like they're slowly going away. 'Cause Franklin no longer plays these Buddy Scars. They look like they're fading. They look like they're slowly going away. 'Cause Buddy will no longer play the Bombers. I wish I couldn't feel, I wish I couldn't look. I wish I didn't have PTSD for Hooker. And Fletch tried to keep the back line together when all you did was find heaps of the leather. I wish you weren't the best that Sydney ever had. I wish when you played that you were bad. 'Cause you played the best against the Bombers. On fire against the Bombers. These Buddy Scars, they look like they're fading. They look like they're slowly going away. 'Cause Franklin no longer plays these Buddy Scars. They look like they're fading. They look like they're slowly going away. 'Cause Buddy will no longer play the Bombers. Yes, he's left.